Read in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? That's quite a way to talk to God, isn't it? Am I my brother's keeper? And it seems like Cain's view was, I don't owe my brother anything. I'm not my brother's keeper. And I'm reminded of a time as an older teenager. I was sitting at the supper table with my mom and my dad. And I guess I was waxing philosophical because I said, I don't owe the world anything. I could go live in a cabin in Alaska. I don't know if I said for the rest of my life or what. Well, my parents were quiet for a little while. And then I got a lesson that night. You do owe the world something. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain asked God, and God responded. He said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. So it seems that Cain's view was, I'm not my brother's keeper, but God's view was, you are your brother's keeper. You owed him something. You owed him protection. He was your younger brother. You owed him love. He was a part of your family. And you owed him this. So, Cain, did you fulfill your debt to your brother? It's quite a thought, isn't it? Verse 11, Now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. I'm reminded of another story that happened later in history, and that was between Joseph and his brothers. Let's move to Genesis chapter 37 and verse 18. Genesis 37 and 18. When they saw him afar off, even before they came near unto him, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Now come, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. I ask you, which of Joseph's brothers were a keeper to their youngest brother? Well, I would say definitely Reuben. Reuben told them, Shed no blood, cast him into the pit, And Reuben had a plan. He was going to rescue him from the pit and deliver him safely back to his father. So Reuben, I think, was truly his brother's keeper. What about Judah? Judah said, there's no profit to kill him. Let's sell him into slavery. Was he his brother's keeper? Well, at least he said he's our brother in our flesh. At least he wanted to spare his life. But I don't think he was fully his brother's keeper to sell him into slavery. Am I my brother's keeper? I think that's a good thing for us to think about tonight. Romans 13 and 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Owe no man anything but to love one another. The suggestion here is that we can owe other men something. And we can also conclude from this same scripture that we can also be debt-free to our fellow man. Because the Bible instructs us, owe no man anything. So that tells me we can have completed our obligation to our brother, being our brother's keeper. Whatever it is we owe our brother, he says, don't owe them anything but to love one another. So we are able to fulfill that obligation or to come short on that obligation. So I'd like to consider tonight, what is it that we owe to our brother? Well, one thing is love. We owe love. I think our world could certainly benefit from a lot more of that today. Do we have an obligation to our brother of love? Well, Jesus said that's the second greatest commandment, didn't he? He said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Well, what if our neighbor is not lovable? Do we still have that obligation to our brother? I believe so. We have the obligation to love our neighbor, our brother, our fellow man, no matter what their situation, no matter how unlovable they may seem, we have the debt to love our brother. What else do we owe to our brother? Anybody? What do we owe besides love? Tell them about the Lord? Okay. Honesty. All right. Forgiveness. That was the next thing on my list. Do we have any scripture that supports that? The Lord's Prayer. All right. Matthew 16 and 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." If you do not fulfill your debt to your brother, to your neighbor, to your fellow man of forgiveness, you're going to show up before God owing something. It's kind of like the song says, weighed in the balance and found wanting. Well, what else do we owe to our brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Do I owe my brother anything? Loyalty. All right. We sure don't want to betray our brother, do we? Not to gossip. That's a good one. Pardon? Respect. All right, that's one of the ones I have on my list. How about mercy? Is this really an obligation? Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. Notice what the lawyer was doing, tempting Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now we could reword this to say, what is my obligation or my debt that I must pay to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Now, a lawyer back in the Bible times was not like the lawyer we think of today that is dealing in civil law. These were people who were dealing with the law of God and were very versed in what the Scriptures taught. What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. That lawyer knew his Scripture, didn't he? And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He was willing to justify himself. Who is my neighbor? Do I really owe that to everybody? Or is it a select group of people? You know, like the people who do good to me. The people that are my friends. The people that love me. Or do I actually owe something to my fellow man that doesn't treat me so well? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. Am I the keeper of a man that's lying on the roadside, dying, wounded, robbed? Am I his keeper? Apparently these men didn't think they were. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I think he recognized, I have a debt to that man that is so helpless, that man that has fallen into such bad circumstances, the man that is down and out, I owe him something. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? I want to reword that a little bit. Which of these men was actually his brother's keeper? And he said, he that shewed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So what do we owe our brother? Mercy is one of the things we can add to the list. Someone said respect. Do we really owe people respect? Some people aren't very respectable, are they? Do we owe them respect? You know, there are fathers that abandon their wives and their children and go off totally neglecting their duties. How do you respect a person like that? Is it really our obligation? You know, that person has been stripped and wounded and is lying by the wayside dying. Do we owe them anything? Something to think about, isn't it? All right. Yes, in James, I believe it's speaking of how does the love of God dwell in you if you tell people go and be warmed and feel filled and so on, and you don't actually do anything for them? Romans 13 and 7 says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. In other words, we have a debt to mankind. And it is true, we have different debts to different people. There are people that are more deserving of honor than other people. That is true. There are people to whom we owe tribute. But I believe that we have a debt to mankind to show a certain amount of respect. The father who has abandoned his family is not deserving as much respect as a good father. But he deserves a certain amount of respect. We owe him a certain amount of respect. Yes. Well, I believe we owe our brother another thing, and that is treating as we would like to be treated. So I'm going to put here treating well. Jesus taught us in what I would consider the foundation teaching of his ministry, therefore, whatsoever things ye would that men should do to you, do ye also even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the foundation. This is what it's all built on. Treat other people. You owe it to them. Treat them the way you would like for them to treat you. I believe we owe to people, to our family, to the people in the world, I believe we owe to them having a Christ-like spirit. You know what happens when your enemy does you wrong? And instead of getting the normal expectation of retaliation, they get the Spirit of Christ coming back. You know what that does to your enemy? Helps open their eyes. And really, we owe them that. We owe them those kinds of eye-opening experiences that there is actually a better way to live than the way they're living. We also owe our brother being easily entreated. James 3 and 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The Greek word for the entreated is good for persuasion, that is, compliant. I believe that being easily entreated is being willing to hear those who have grievances against us. Willing to be reconciled, if possible. Now, at the same time, I recognize that some people simply are not rational. Some people will not be reconciled. But there should be a willingness on our part for people to reason with us, to work with us, to hear what the complaints are that they have, and to try to work those out. I don't believe that we are obligated to subject ourselves to harassment. People who are just after us, mocking, harassing, that type of thing, I don't think we have an obligation to open ourselves up to that, but I do believe we have an obligation try to be reconciled over what their grievances may be. I believe that we owe to our brother to minimize offenses. I didn't say eliminate offenses, did I? Offenses are going to come. We're human. We may irritate one another from time to time. That's why we have to have grace. That's why we have to be long-suffering. But I believe we should try to minimize offenses. Matthew 18 and 6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." So it is a very serious thing that we should consider. Lord, help us not to be offensive to other people. We owe to our brother unity. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So we owe each other an effort for there to be unity. There are some things that we do not owe. Approval. Now, we must love people, we must forgive people, but that doesn't mean that we are obligated to approve. Admiration is not our debt. Agreeing on everything. Now, even though we are not obligated to agree on everything, I believe that our spirits must agree. I believe that doctrinal agreement is very important. We are not obligated to have confidence in everyone, in every life. Confidence is something that's earned. It's not a debt that we owe to our fellow man. We are not obligated to have high respect. Remember, I mentioned the father that abandoned his family. We don't owe him high respect. There's a certain amount of respect of the fact that he is a father, of the fact that he's an eternal soul, a part of God's creation. We owe him something, but it is not high respect that we owe. We also do not owe our brother controlling him. John chapter 21 and verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." You know what Jesus is doing? He's commissioning Peter. He was getting ready to be away from Peter for the rest of Peter's life. And he was giving him his life assignment. "He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. So not only was Jesus giving Peter his life assignment, he was foretelling Peter's end. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, notice what he said to Peter. He saith unto him, Peter, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Peter was a natural leader. He said, I go fishing, and the other disciples went with him. He was the one that cut off the servant's ear when Jesus was being arrested. Peter was the one that would pop out with questions and answers. He was naturally that type of a person. Lord, what do you want this other man to do? Notice Jesus' response. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. We don't owe it to our brother to control his life. That is the Lord's business. There are some stumbling blocks, Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now thou walkest not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. What is this about? There was a controversy over what people were allowed to eat. Some felt you could just eat herbs. Others felt like meat was fine. And it became a stumbling block to those who had a sensitivity about whether or not they ate meat. Stumbling blocks come into two categories. And those two categories are handled differently. One is innocent things. Meat is an innocent thing. One believed you could eat it, one believed you could not, but it was not a moral issue. But what I would say is it's better to lay aside lawful things rather than to destroy our brother by insisting that this is lawful. Well, there's a second category. First category of stumbling blocks is innocent things. The second category is things that bring a reproach. Paul instructed us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Even though we may not be doing something that is wrong, if it just has an appearance of evil and is creating a stumbling block for someone else, then let's just abstain from that. Offenses. Let us read in Mark chapter 18 and verse 15. Mark 18 and 15. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let them be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. I believe that Jesus' instruction on dealing with offenses between brethren, here when he's saying, go to that person first, and then if he won't hear you, then take some with you so that there will be witnesses and so on. I believe that he was speaking about personal offenses. I don't believe he was talking about offenses against the church or doctrinal violations or matters of scandal or those types of things. I don't think we necessarily follow this exact same path, but we do have an obligation to try to resolve personal differences. I believe that my brother's soul is more important than my rights and my feelings. I believe I have an obligation to my brother. If me loving my brother or my neighbor as myself is, according to Jesus, the second most important commandment, how will I do on the judgment day? I'd like for us to just stop and think about that for a little bit. An obligation to my brother. I'm going to have to give an account of that someday. And to Jesus, it was very, very important. How important is it to us? The song says, if I have failed to comfort my brother, if he needs help and I scorn him away, if I have brought to your heart disappointments, dear Lord, forgive the way I have lived and teach me thy way. Teach me to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Teach me to hear what you have to say. Help me bear the cross you have given. Hold to my hand. Help me to stand and teach me thy way. Amen.